Today's scripture reading comes from John 14, verses 15 through 26. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me and does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
That's one of my favorite scriptures among many. It's a wonderful, wonderful word from our Lord. Did you note what he promised you in that scripture? He promised his disciples, and he promised us, that he would be leaving for a moment, but would return. And he did return in that resurrection, those resurrection appearances, but then thereafter he would return forever to live in the hearts and lives of those who seek to love him and open up to him in faith. It's a promise of the Holy Spirit. It's how we know God in a very special way. And that promise is a wonderful, wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know that once the Holy Spirit is delivered to you and you open up and receive it, God, you receive so much, so many gifts. I always love to hear Carla when she does her children's sermons, and I go back in memory of the times I did so many children's talks and sermons, and I never forget talking about the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget that at a class of little children, we would talk about the Holy Spirit, and I asked them, do you know the gifts of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit? And one little girl, she was a delightful little girl, she's waving her hands, and she's so excited because she knows the answer. She thinks, oh, Brother Harold, I know, call on me. And so I called on her and I said, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Oh, she said, Brother Harold, that's easy. It's gold and frankincense and myrrh. I love her. I can still hear her. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, you know, bless her heart. Maybe that's all it was. Maybe that's all she knew about the Holy Spirit. And if so, she's not alone. You know, today, God, the Holy Spirit, is somewhat the forgotten person of the Trinity. It's like the people of in Ephesus. They were asked, when asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And you know what they said? They said, no, we have never even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And that is Acts 19, verse 2. Indeed. But Christ commands us, promises us, to live in the Christian life in His power. And this is what He said in John 20:22, receive the Holy Spirit, He said. And walk by the Spirit, Paul said in Galatians. And Paul said in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, he says, do not quench the Spirit. And Jesus said in our scripture today, and you heard that wonderful reading, and he said, and I will pray the Father. And he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. That's John 14. That was our scripture today. It was a wonderful thing. You know, Jesus said, when you love me, you notice the word we? We know God in three special ways, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're wonderful ways to know God. Well, so let's take a few moments today, and let's look at the Holy Spirit. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to be in our homes, wherever we might be here today. And let's learn His ways. Learn His ways, my friends, and make a decision about receiving Him into our lives. They have this delightful author that I'm so familiar with. His name is Henry Nouwen. He's a Roman Catholic theologian. He's an author, a priest. And I wanted to read you something that he wrote. And it's in his book, Bread for the Journey. And I want to quote Henry Nouwen. And we may have it on the screen, his quotation. And I want you to look at that with me. And this is what Henry Nouwen said. To me, it was so instructive. He said, God made a covenant with us. The word covenant means coming together. God wants to come together with us. In many stories in the Hebrew Bible, we see that God appears as one who defends us against our enemies, protects us against our dangers, and guides us in our freedom. And so he is God. God is God for us. When Jesus comes, the new dimension of the covenant is revealed. In Jesus, God is born. He grows in maturity. He lives. He suffers. He dies. As we do. So God is God with us. Finally, when Jesus leaves, he promises the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, God reveals the full depth of the covenant. God wants to be as close to us as our breath. God wants to breathe in us so that all we say, think, and do is completely inspired by God. So God is God within us. Thus, God's covenant reveals to us how much God loves us. That's from Bread for the Journey by Henry Nouwen. He has since passed from us, but he was just, and I thank him for that, in that quotation that we just read together. Well, dear friends, what happens when His Spirit gets a hold of us? When we come together, what happens? Well, I like to think of them as gifts. And one of the things that I notice that happens, not only biblically, but here in your lives and in the lives of our churches, that one of the first things that happens is the gift of power. Did you notice? In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said, and I'm quoting But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you. That's what he said. The Greek word for power is dynamis. And that's where we get the word dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. And Jesus is saying, we shall receive this sort of power when the Holy Spirit is accepted into our lives. Now, take Peter. Talking about power. Take Peter. He's an example. He's a good example of the Spirit's enabling power. Before Pentecost, before he was fully filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter, he had walked with Jesus. He promised Jesus, I will follow you even unto death. He made all of these commitments to Jesus. He lived with him for 3 years, 24/7. But he could not live without that creed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes to, he can't stay awake. He's asleep. The soldiers come. He lashes out in anger. And then he flees during the night. And then someone stops him and said, isn't that your friend? Isn't that your companion? And Peter says, I don't know him. Oh, my goodness, I don't know him, you know. But then came the power of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, which is God among us and with us and in us. And boy, that power came to Peter, and he unlocked that upper room door, and he hit the streets, and you couldn't stop him. He preached the word of Christ. He preached resurrection. He preached salvation. That was powerful. I mean, just powerful. And finally, he gave his life. He was crucified. Upside down, by the way, as he asked him to do. Power, indeed. Well, if you're a Christian, and you are, this same life-changing power is in you. It's in you. But you say, well, I'm a Christian, sometimes I just don't feel the power. Where is the strength? And the answer is, deep down inside of you, Deuteronomy 33:25 says, as your days, so shall your strength be. I'll give you an example. Patricia and I have in our garage, a carport, a 1970 Mustang. Well, it's in the shop right now. And it belongs to Patricia. That Mustang, but when it sits there on the carport, it's really a neat car. It's 50 years old. We look at it, and, boy, look at that. We just admire it, you know, and it's really good. And so it's very impressive. And then, it's just sitting there. But when you go out there and you put the key in it and you turn that engine on, and they tell me it's a 351 Cleveland V8 engine. There is some power under that hood. And Patricia and I have to be careful, because that power gets on the highway, it really can go. And we have to turn it on. That's the way that I think that the Holy Spirit works in the believer. As your days. So shall your strength be, indeed. The power to love, to forgive, to witness, to suffer, to discipline, to be patient, to create. It's all there. All we need to do is turn it on. We need that help to turn it on, don't we? Indeed. Well, I think power. But I think another gift, through the Scriptures, and one of which you're familiar with, is the gift of truth. The Holy Spirit speaks to me the truth. In John 16:7-8, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit does more than empower. He said, and I quote, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not do not go away, the counselor will not come. But if I go away, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness. In other words, the Holy Spirit will point out rights and wrongs. Rights and wrongs, indeed. You know, think about that, my friends. Consider this an experiment. Imagine a room where you're in, and it's full of light. Got light everywhere. I mean, it's got all the light. You can't turn any more light on. It's got all the light that room needs. You know, it's all the light it's going to get. But does the light have all the room? No, it does not. For there's shadows. There's shadows in the room. What if one by one you remove the furniture? The objects is blocking the light. A table, a chair, etc. When you finish, then would the room have any more light in it? No. It's just that the light would have more of the room. Think about that, my friends. The Holy Spirit works like that in the Christian life. He's a person, and he is the person of the Spirit of Christ, who is God among us, and he enters our lives. Does the believer have the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit have the believer? That's the question. As the Spirit enters our lives, he begins to, in that power, he begins to point out our sins. And maybe it starts with my selfishness or my pride or whatever it is. And maybe with my unforgiveness. And he starts telling me these truthful things, you know, so forth and so on. And as we walk in the Spirit, we're changed in that revelation and to realize, is that really me? Indeed, the Spirit is so good at truth. So good at truth. And the key principle to remember here, my dear ones, is that you, the believer, first get all the Spirit you're ever going to need. And then, little by little, the Holy Spirit gets all of you. And he wants all of you and me. There's something else I think is a gift besides power and truth. And that's he's a teacher. The Holy Spirit's a teacher. God, we love our teachers. God, what do we do with our teachers? Oh, what a blessing. I owe so much to so many teachers. But Jesus is Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is a great teacher. In John 16, 12, and 13, Jesus further explained the Holy Spirit's work in the Christian life. Standing before the 12 disciples, you know what he said that night in the upper room? He said, I have yet many things to say to you. You can't bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he says, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. Imagine that. 12 persons, those 12 sitting there, been with Jesus these 3 years, 24/7. They heard everything. They watched him minister. They witnessed his miracles. And still Jesus called them to a side and he said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Wow. Jesus, you cannot bear them now. That would have hurt my feelings. How about you? It must hurt theirs. But the point is, if Jesus said it to the 12, how much more is he saying to me today? Not a one of us knows it all. Not a one of us knows it all. But the Spirit is here to teach us. And Jesus promised, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you in all truth. Will Willimon, another person I admire, he was a professor at Duke University in the Minnesota campus. He was a bishop in our Methodist system. And this is a quote from Will Willimon. And I quote him. There is nothing quite as exasperating, he says, as a new believer. The person who, having just discovered the Christian faith, thinks he or she invented the Christian faith, knows everything there is to know about it, and is eager to tell everybody about it, everything he's learned. New believers must learn that the first steps of faith are not the end of faith. That the Holy Spirit of truth continues to reveal truth to us, continues to prod us and to pull us towards a greater, deeper, richer experience in the glories of Christ. To be a Christian, he says, to continue his quote, to be a Christian is always to be willing to grow, no matter how old you are, and to learn, to change, to be proved wrong, to be shocked, to be surprised by the work of the Spirit. I love that. Thank you, Will Willimon, for that quote. It's so true. You know, I'll never forget some few years ago, Patricia and I, when we first bought our first computer, we didn't have a clue how to set it up, how to do anything. You know who came along and did it? Our grandkids. God love them. And they set it up. I mean, we had a computer that could do everything we needed to do, but we didn't know how to use it until our grandkids taught us. And taught us indeed they did. And Jesus is continuing to teach indeed. The point is this, my friends. Jesus has bought us more salvation than any of us can imagine. And it is a task of the Holy Spirit to encourage that, to teach it, to let us grow more and more so we can all be like Christ, little by little, day by day, as we study the Bible, as we live among Christians, as we think and experience the Christian life. The Spirit teaches us about the things that are so important, prayer and scripture, indeed, of justice and suffering and love, etc. You can name them all. I like to say that the Holy Spirit is here to take off of us everything that sin and Satan has put on us. Indeed. And put on us everything that Christ wants to be put on. He removes our weaknesses, puts us on our strength, gives us strength. Indeed. Indeed. What a gift. The gifts. The gifts. The coming together of the Holy Spirit. And now, yeah, another exciting work is in the believers. This 1 Peter 4:10 says, and he teaches, as each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. The Greek word for gift is charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. That's where we get charismatic. Charismatic. And the Bible says each of us has received a charis. So every Christian is called to the charismatic dimension of the Christian life. You know, so important. Well, you'll find all of this in the gifts of the Spirit if you want to write this down or if you want to look it up. Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look up Romans chapter 12. Look up Ephesians chapter 4. There it becomes clear that the gifts are actually talents for ministry. For all the things that ministry involves, indeed. And now, my dear ones, a final mission of the Holy Spirit in each believer's life comes from Galatians 5:22 and explains, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Brother Ricky is in the middle of a series of sermons on the fruits of the Spirit. And I know when he gets back, he will continue that wonderful thing. But the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is moral character. Moral. That's a gift. Moral character. Indeed. Many ask, If I open myself up to the power of the Holy Spirit, if I let Him point out my sins, teach me and call me to useful involvement in the church, what will happen to me? What will happen to me? What will my life be like? And all I can say is love, joy, peace, patience, etc. That's what will happen, my dear ones. Notice it doesn't say the blossom of the Spirit. It says the fruit. The fruit. And that is the final product of the tree. So the fruit, a final product of the indwelling Spirit, is not just power, truth, or spiritual gifts, or correction from sin. The final product is character. Moral maturity, described as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A few years ago, a major American magazine polled its readers, asking, what do you want most in life? Hey, folks, you sitting at home? Look at each other. What do you want most in life? Think about this. And so this magazine asked that. And the three major answers were, above all others, there were three. I want love, I want to be happy, and I want peace. And those are the first three fruits of the Spirit. Joy is there for happy. So it's abundantly clear that what we most want out of life is what the good Lord is most eager to give you and me. Well, let me conclude this thing with you. Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? Galatians 3:14 explains, and I quote, receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Open up. So if I'm willing, if you're willing to turn from our selfishness and our sins, to trust God as our Redeemer, and invite by faith the Spirit's presence into our lives, it can happen. And it will happen. You may not feel anything. It's not going to hurt. And you may not understand it all. But nevertheless, He will come to you. And you will receive all of Him there is. And over the next few days, the next weeks, the next year, He will receive all of you. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your talents, your relationship. He will do this as you walk with Him daily. Imagine a pipe open at both ends, and it's stuck vertically in the river bottom. Well, it's filled with water. It's got all the water it's going to get. But take that same pipe and turn it horizontal and let the river flow through it. And it's going to continue to flow. Water coming in, water going out. And that's how the Spirit works. Spirit coming in, Spirit going out. In Jesus, we are each filled with the Spirit. That means we're teachable. Correct. We can be corrected. And He shows us more and more who God is. Indeed. It means that we're not self-reliant. We're God-reliant as we seek His strength. It means we receive the spiritual gifts and His talents. And we become involved in the church, His body, and make ourselves useful in love, indeed. But most of all, it means our character is changed as we become more and more like the most beautiful person who ever lived, Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Lord. Thank you. And thank you, my friends, for listening. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for reminding us through your life in Jesus of the promises and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful gift. The gifts of the Spirit, so, so special. And so, Father, we turn to you now, and this is our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come to me. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name, we always thank you. Amen.